It's good to feel that our whole lives amount to something, that we have been fruitful. Just recently, I've been thinking about that a lot. We've been to two funerals of people who've been significant in our lives. And one of the things you do is you look back at their lives and their achievements, and inevitably, it makes you think. And as a consequence, I'll correct that. I think it's fair to say, Lorinda and I have been asking deep questions about who we are before God, about our direction, about what we have done, about what we are doing now, and about where we are going, what we will do. You ever found you've done that? Something has happened, it's really made you think about things. Well, I believe it is right. More than that, it is natural to do that because God has made us, designed us to know the completeness of all the things that give us purpose, significance, and so on. There are three things that all human beings need and crave. Firstly, significance, that sense of who they are, of purpose. Second, security, to know that it's not all just going to disappear. And thirdly, acceptance, that we are loved by someone, that someone cares, that we belong to something. And in that passage that Mick just read to us from Genesis chapter 1, we join at day 6. Surely the pinnacle of God's creation, the creation of human beings, and we see all three of those things provided for Adam. We've got significance, a God-given purpose. Be fruitful and increase in number, and then have dominion over, rule over the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea, and so on. Adam didn't need to look for what he was supposed to do in life or what life was about. It was given to him, significance, purpose. Second, security. He was utterly safe in God's presence. He wanted for nothing. Everything that he needed was provided. He had food, he had shelter, he had companionship. He knew security of living with God. And third, he had acceptance. He had an intimate relationship with God. He walked with him. He talked with him. He had God's full attention. And of course, God also created Eve. So he had a relationship with God and with another human being. Acceptance. All three of those things provided by God in creation. This is the essence, the story of God with us, his people. He created us to be in relationship with him, to know him, to have all that we require. But of course, then there is sin coming into the world and the fall and the tragedy that relationship with God is broken and humans lose all of those things. Everything is lost. And human beings from that point on are searching for meaning, for purpose, for some security, and for belonging to someone or something, or knowing some individual cares, right up until the point where God resolves that and Jesus comes into the world and we have restoration. God offers restoration of relationship to all who would believe. And those three things that all human beings crave, suddenly God is catering for in Christ. So let me go through them again, just to remind you that you have all those things. I'll reverse the order. First, acceptance, belonging to God's family, adopted as a child of God. More than that, co-heirs with Christ. And are we accepted by him? Absolutely. As we've looked at in recent months, as God looks at us, he doesn't see our faults, that broken human nature. He sees the righteousness of Christ for all who have believed, fully accepted by Christ, the intimacy of a relationship restored with him. We can walk and talk. Literally, it's like being back in the Garden of Eden, but with global warming, not quite as good. So there's acceptance. There's security. God's promise to us of an eternal future. What was it we read in John 3:16? For all who believe, there is not just life, but eternal life. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. Not one who's given to Jesus will be lost. We're guaranteed. God looks at us and he says, I will remember your sins no more. All of our sins, all of those things that kept us and could keep us away from God, gone. Sins in the past, present, and future, wiped clean in Christ. Absolute security. Wow. And then there's that significance, that God-given purpose. And isn't it echoed in Christians, in God's people, as it was in Genesis? That echo of increasing in number, but not just physically. Go into the world, said Jesus, and make disciples. Make disciples. Work with me to grow my church, grow the kingdom of heaven on this earth. We have purpose. To be fruitful is the word that Jesus used as well. Come to that later. So once again, we're partners with God in his kingdom processes. And all those three cravings, those three needs are fulfilled. Isn't that what Jesus was saying when he declared what he was offering the world compared to what Satan or any other philosophy or person or way of thinking or religion would possibly offer human beings? In John 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that means our life having significance, purpose, knowing security, and being filled with our knowledge of acceptance. Wow. That is my longing for you because that's God's longing for you. That you will live and walk and know every day that fullness that God offers to you. Why am I saying this morning? Because I know that I am looking at a church where the congregation is largely elderly. Where many of you know the reality of the physical things around us slipping away, where you know the judgment and the views of a world around you that see you in a lesser place, and there is concern that that's how you see and value yourself. And I'm here to stand and say, absolutely not. That is not who you are. That's not how God sees you. He wants you to know his acceptance, belonging, the security that is your assurance today and into eternity, and to know you have significance because you still have purpose every day of the week, and it doesn't change as we get older. You are not defined by age or health, or the latest family crisis that has come your way, and all those things that you often see as colouring who you are. That's not what defines you, nor is the wealth that you have accumulated in life, nor all the assets you can point to, or the books you have written, or the success that you can point to. So those things that the world uses to judge us are not valid. You are identified by who you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I heard them shout something similar, I'm sure. Come on, this is who we are as God's people. And I share this because I know that as we get older, things change around us. We feel perhaps less in control physically, mentally. It's harder to do what we once did. And for many, including many, many Christians, that equates to a loss of acceptance and security. It's all going to fall. What's happening next? And significance. What am I supposed to do in life now? That's the way the world works. And I want to challenge you. Yes, we are physical people and we have a physical body and we live in a physical world and that is decaying around us. And yes, society values youth and energy and power. But this is what the Bible says. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, who'd got its priorities all screwed up, he said, 2 Corinthians 4, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, the kingdom of God and in all his glory, is eternal. Yes, these bones, these joints, my eyesight, my hearing, the hair I used to have, yes, that's all deteriorating. But that's all temporary. And it's not all. This building I'm sitting in, you, we won't be here forever. Hopefully, it will be here on Tuesday when you come. But it's not going to be here forever. Even the seat that I am sitting on is going to have a lifespan. But what is unseen, the God of this world, all that I am in his kingdom, all that I do, that is eternal and it is not going to change. You're not defined by what you are physically, but who you are spiritually. And I want to encourage you to come to that understanding as we look at our lives and we value ourselves today. Look not at what is seen, but what is unseen. Seriously, it is time for God's people to wake up to the reality of who they are. Because the enemy, Satan, wants nothing more than to waste the time of the saints, to whisper in your ear, you are old and useless. You can do and achieve nothing. And that is something we have got to stop listening to, the lies of the enemy, but come to who God says we are. Let me summarize it like this. To whatever it is that you look at, you get your assessment and judgments from, whether it is the physical world around you, the what people say, whether it's news programs, here's what my summary is for you. Look around, you get distressed. Look within, you get depressed. Look to God, and you will find rest. The choice is yours. And that passage in Genesis just sets the groundwork. So I've just relayed a foundation that is fundamental that all of us should know because it's our true identity. And to a church of older people who, yes, I acknowledge are prone to be pulled down by the passing of the years and growing physical restriction, I want to invite you to take a godly reality check this morning and every day and really see what your life amounts to. I want to ask you this morning to reassess how you value yourself and particularly how we can be fruitful, therefore, for God by thinking about how those three things impact. So to begin with, just to put things in a context, did you notice in the passage that we read that God didn't just create people and then say, right, off you go, be fruitful, increase in number, have dominion over the world? Did you notice that two things happened before it was possible for God's people to be fruitful? Genesis 20, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the birds of the air and the fish," and so on. So that they may rule over those. What is it that he did first? Made mankind in our likeness, in the likeness of God. The first thing that God did was he designed you in his image in order to fulfill the tasks, to be fruitful. What does that mean? It means that you are created to reflect the character, the nature of God, his goodness, his kindness, his love, his mercy, his compassion, all of those things that are wonderful and unique about God, his creativity. We are designed to reflect those things. You know, there's not a great deal that you can do to stop your body slowing down and wearing out. The world might try to persuade you can prolong it for a little bit. There's not much you can do. But those things of God's character within us that we can reflect, they don't wear out. In fact, on the contrary, as we mature, they just get better. The caveat being, and this is important, the caveat being, if we invite God to partner with us on growing these characteristics within us. So, the kindness that you might show to others this week, the love that is above and beyond, the forgiveness they're not used to, the compassion, the mercy. Even those creative streaks that you alone still have, that you can offer to your family, your friends, those you work with, those things reflect, they point to God and they reveal Him a little bit in a world that is desperate to discover what meaning is. And in the process, just maybe people hearing and seeing those things in you will begin to be pushed into God's direction and discover Him for themselves. And so the kingdom of God grows. Isn't that our priestly role? God said to Moses in the Old Testament and to the church in the New Testament, now we are a royal priesthood belonging to God. The role of a priest is to point to God as intermediaries to help people to get there. That doesn't change with age. On the contrary, the work that God is doing to refine us, to mold us, that we do so much on a Sunday, on a Thursday, in a prayer time particularly, that God's molding is a work He's doing to us. And Paul speaking to the Philippian church, said, "He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." It's not stopping, not even because you've retired. It keeps going because God designed us to be productive, to be image bearers. So here's my first reality check for you. Quick question that you can ask of yourself. This is a godly reality check. When I look into the mirror, how much of God's character do I see? You might want to just ask yourself that question. Think about that for a moment. The first thing God did, he created us in his image to enable us to do that. And the first part of that is we reflect his image. But that's not the only, there's the second part to that same thing that he did. He also, by creating us in his image, it also means that he created us to be relational. That verse that we read, where we were told, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Who is the "our"? Who is the "let us"? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God is fundamentally relational, and he created us to be the same. Relational towards God, particularly crucial. Relational to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Still crucial. And thirdly, like Jesus, like God, under difficult circumstances, relational to a world around us, even though that world is often hostile towards you, because you represent God. So here's my second godly reality check, a question I ask myself that you could ask of yourself. Because as we look at that Trinitarian relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we see the mutual affection, honor, and unity, how much of that do I see in my relationships with God, with the church, with others? Two reality checks for us. Can I just pause for a moment to pray? Father God, thank you that these physical bodies and our physical circumstances, which are finite, do not define us. Thank you for doing a new thing in us. Thank you for creating us to be image bearers. Holy Spirit, would you show me the ways that I am currently reflecting your nature, both in my character and in my relationships? And as I do that, Lord, are there ways that I'm failing to display your nature in my character, in my relationships? Lord, as you bring those to mind now, I ask for your forgiveness. And I invite you to continue your work of transformation in me so that I can represent you well. Make today a life changer, Lord. Amen. So the first thing God has done is to create us in his image to enable us to do things. But I said there were two. And I want to touch on that briefly now. Because the second thing he's done, he's has blessed us in commissioning us for the purpose. Verse 28, God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. And God has blessed us to be a blessing into this world, to be a priesthood that blesses communities. We are blessed to be fruitful. And for God's people, for followers of Jesus, being fruitful is part of what it is to be for God's mission. He invites us to cooperate with him, to co-create, to cultivate. That's the work that he invites us to join with him in its mission in this world. And his intention is that we are to be fruitful in that process. What I'm going about to say, therefore, is really, really important. If we are ever going to be fruitful, we have to recognize the difference between two things, to differentiate between two things. If our lives are going to have purpose, and if we are going to feel confident and assured with all that God has given to us, and it is this. As we look and as we recognize that it is our inclination to look down on ourselves and feel down because our physical attributes are deteriorating, and we look back and say, well, oh, I've never done that and I haven't achieved this and I've never run 100 meters in such and such a time and I've never run a huge organization and I've never written a book. And as we say those things to ourselves, we're looking with the enemy's perspective of who we are. It is really important to distinguish between fruitfulness and success. They're two very different things. The world is always talking about success. I've been reminded of this particularly with the Olympics. If you notice, we're all about the winner, the winner, the winner, the winner. We all want to know who's the winner. Yes, we give prizes for one, two, and three. You don't talk about the person who came eighth in an Olympic final, who to get there did astonishing things and overcame remarkable achievements to get to that place and sacrifices. We're all about the winner. The world thinks in terms of success. It says, show me a trophy, show me the books you've read if you're in a modern generation. What blogs do you read? Have you written? How many followers have you got? And so our physical constraints and restrictions at this point in our lives in particular make us feel useless and unwanted. The world says, what wealth have you accumulated? You can't compare yourself with others. What are you going to leave behind? That's not how God sees us. The real question, the question that God asks, is, are you being fruitful? And so often that does not spring from our strength or from our power. Not ours, but God's. Many of you will have heard of the author Henry Nouwen. He writes this: the question is, are you going to bear fruit? And the amazing thing is that our fruitfulness comes out of our vulnerability, not just our power. Actually, it comes out of our powerlessness. If the ground wants to be fruitful, you have to break it open a little bit. And I was thinking, it's reflected, isn't it? Is that image of the church and new wine in the Bible flowing. Do you know how you get wine? You need grapes that are crushed to get the wine out. No crushing, no wine. Our weakness is what God uses. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong, because it is Christ's power in me. So it isn't our great physical power and youthfulness that enables us to be fruitful. It is our willingness to offer our character, our vulnerability in partnership with God's power and God's resources, which brings me to that image that Jesus represented and where he spoke of fruitfulness. If you want to guarantee that your life demonstrates fruitfulness, take the picture of Jesus. Just before he handed over his earthly mission. By the way, think about that. Jesus' earthly mission, just 3 years. Donald Trump did more than that. 3 years. And how did it end? He was crucified. He died. And as the world looks, some would say, completely unsuccessful. What did Jesus actually do? In his vulnerability, he opened himself and he transformed the world. He saved the world for eternity. It is not the time and the strength, it is the willingness to be in partnership with God's will. What was the thing that Jesus said to his disciples and to you? That thing he said that is so important that enables you to guarantee fruitfulness. Here it is, John 15, verse 4. Remain in me, he said, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. And I invite you to take God's invitation to grow your time in the vine, to be connected to him, not because it's good that we're religious, but because it's essential for us to be fruitful. He goes on, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Fruitfulness comes for God's people as we invite the divine gardener to prune and to trim the branches that are fully rooted in the vine. Remain in me. So this morning, I want to invite you to take a look at how you are utterly rooted in God. Take a fresh look at your life. Do you want to ensure that yours is truly a rich part and being fruitful in your particular patch of God's creation in a way that reveals the character of God and your relationships demonstrate that? Look again. If you want to be sure, then don't compare yourself to the world around or yourself and what's not happening. Look around, get distressed. Look within, get depressed. Look to God, and you will find rest. And you will be fruitful. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that we bear your image. Lord God, we declare that we need your power to be fruitful. We need your grace to exercise your dominion in a right way over our tiny little patch of creation, in a way that reveals your character and your nature. Lord, would you help us to do so by deepening our life-giving relationship with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and inviting you to pour that out in our relationships with others. So, Father God, this morning, I yield myself to you today. Amen.
Amen.